Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
No, like, it's so hard. I haven't had someone say that to me in a really long time, and I'm really happy because I think I would just look at you like, are you just watching conspiracy theory shows all day? Like, I've worked elections. So I've worked elections. My sister's worked elections. So you stand there and people watch them count and make sure that, you know, no sort of foul play is taking place. So when people are saying that, I just think to myself, maybe this is an excuse for you to feel like you shouldn't take part. But I personally haven't seen anything that would indicate to me that there is foul play going on, that they're being rigged. Mm-hmm. Until then, I generally think that it was just a lower turnout.
So recently, Ontario had an election, and I could say it was so anticlimactic. I decided to have a conversation centered around our thoughts on the events leading up to the elections and our thoughts after the results. I invited Chid Suzanne to have a conversation with me. Chid is the host and producer to her podcast. You can find her on her podcast, which is called But What Do I Know? So in today's episode, we're talking all things politics. You know, politicians be politicking. I hope today's episode sparks knowledge and dialogue. This is a shot of melanin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Shot of Melanin. On today's episode, we are talking about Ontario politics. As the title of this episode is called Politicians Be Politicking, we're going to go over Ontario politicians and what we thought about the 22 Ontario elections. I decided to get someone very special on the episode today because she did her very own, actually, episode on Ontario elections. She spoke about at the time when we did have it, she was just more so kind of giving her listeners an idea of, like, you know, what each platform has in mind, their party. And so I thought, why not have her on the episode and just kind of chit chat about Ontario election and what her thought process on is it? So I've got Chid Suzanne from But What Do I Know podcast. Chid, tell us a little bit about you, yourself, your podcast, the idea, just about you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for having me. I'm so excited to be on the Shot of Melanin podcast. yes, you know, hello, listeners. I am Chid Suzanne, producer and host of the But What Do I Know podcast based in Toronto. And we're virtual as well. So, I'm excited. You know, like Michelle mentioned, I had done an episode featuring Patience Adamu, who's a very, you know, well-known political commentator here in Toronto. And so now it's nice to sort of do a circle back of how we feel after the results have come out. So thank you so much for having me.
Definitely no problem. I thought this would be great to talk about and just kind of see how we feel now that it's almost going to be a month, actually. I think we had the elections June 2nd, I believe.
Yes.
So we're inching towards the one month mark. So tell me, like, what were your thoughts about each candidate?
Honestly, it's so funny. I feel like this political, this last campaign season was very underwhelming. And I don't know if it's because it was a provincial election as opposed to a federal election, but it felt really underwhelming. Like, I saw the flags, I saw the signs, but I felt like there wasn't a lot of direct in-your-face campaigning. Like, I've seen, you know, campaigns where you're seeing candidates going door-to-door in your neighborhood. I didn't really see any of that. Didn't really get a lot of the calls. So it felt really underwhelming to me. You know, I am a more progressive woman. And I feel like that's something that's, you know, typically popular amongst younger women, especially millennials, young people in general. So I was more focused on the Liberals and NDP and sort of looking at what their platforms, what they were, you know, planning to do, promising that they were going to do and so on. So yeah, I honestly, my thoughts were that this was underwhelming. It went by really quickly. Mm-hmm. I felt like a lot of people probably even like, I feel like a lot of people probably were not aware that a provincial election took place.
I think you might be right on that one. I think because we were coming so quickly off of the federal election.
Right.
I mean, I know it was, what, September? So from September to June, I think people were just kind of like wheeling off of the federal one. And then to know like, oh, we have another one in Ontario? Oh, wait. I think it was just kind of like one of those. I also think, you know, a lot of people don't really care to have the election right now. They just feel like it's why? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts of the leaders of each political party? That's, do you feel like there was a strong one, there was a weak one?
I don't know. I don't feel like any of them were strong. I feel like if this was a federal election, you know, different story. I felt like, also, my sister actually did some campaign work for the NDP party. So nice. Even from just her canvassing of neighborhoods, talking to the workers and so on, there's a disconnect, which I know people have called out, between the NDP leader. Well, I know she stepped down now, Andrea
Horwath.
Yeah. Between herself and the actual party. Like, I can't specifically point out anything that she said, but I know that people have said we're not a big fan of her. She's mentioned some things that aren't really in line with, you know, what you would expect the NDP party to be in line with. So I know there was a bit of a disconnect there. The leader for the Liberal Party, Stephen Del
Duca.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't really enthused. Like, I just wasn't impressed. I don't know. It just felt like, okay, same old, you know. And then of course we had Doug Ford. What else?
Yep.
You know, we're open today, we're closed tomorrow. Stay home, closed.
Yep.
Yeah. So just, I felt like I wasn't necessarily excited about any one of them. I was more focused on at the very local level, and just being happy that, okay, you know, I'll vote NDP because, you know, they're progressive and I know that this is their overall platform.
All right. So let's talk a bit about strategic voting. Do you believe in strategic voting? Do you think it's beneficial so that you could have maybe one particular party? Let's say it was like your second choice party. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's best to strategically vote or still vote for the party that you initially wanted?
Okay, that's a really difficult one. So on any other, like in a regular circumstance, I think, you know, you should vote for the party that you feel like you are closely aligned with, that you feel like will bring the most good, all that good stuff, right? But like you said, if it's down and it's like, if you vote for this one, you know that they don't have a chance of winning, but if you vote for this one, you could win. I'm not gonna lie to you. I see the point in that. I see it. I get it. Because that's what happens a lot, right? Like, especially here when it comes down to, you know, we don't think that NDP has a chance. We want to vote Liberal. So I get it.
I'm a big on strategic voting. Mm. And I'll tell you why. Because, okay, I use it a lot more so for federal elections than I do for provincial ones.
I get that too.
To me, it's like, this is our leader to the rest of the world. And so I don't want somebody that looks like a buffoon in front of other world leaders. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I do strategic voting is because for me, and this was when I started voting when I turned 18, NDP has been my guy, has been my jam. Mm-hmm. I think the closest we've ever been to an NDP winning was when Jack Layton was alive.
Yeah, that's what people say, yes.
Yeah, it was, so, girl, I remember that day. It was so close. And since then, NDP has never kind of been the same since mm-hmm. his passing. And so it really comes down to only the two. You've got conservative and liberal. So I'm always strategic in terms of the numbers. So you're always going to check the numbers and see who is going, who's close, mm-hmm. who's neck to neck. Generally, a lot of people tend to, okay, not a lot, depending on where you're from in Canada, you'll more likely vote liberal or you're more likely to vote conservative. And so when I look at the numbers, if I see that it's neck really close between conservative and liberals, I'm more likely to choose liberals.
Liberal, right.
And I it's the closest yeah. to NDP. Yeah. It's kind of the closest you're going to get. Because can you yeah. imagine somebody who votes normally votes NDP votes conservative?
Yeah, no. But so this time around, I didn't do that. I voted my heart. I voted NDP, right? And me and my sister were having this conversation of the other side to that is, imagine if everybody who thought like that actually voted for NDP, though. The number of seats that we could actually get, right? So it's like, the numbers are showing you that, the projections are showing you, but imagine if instead of trying to choose that, we actually all just voted for NDP.
And I would normally say I agree with you, but I feel like their leader wasn't the strongest leader. And I think that's why a lot of people were deterred from voting NDP. I've heard stories. Again, I'm kind of new to Ontario politics. You could talk to me about Quebec politics all day, and I'll talk to you about that. Ontario is still kind of new for me. So I've heard about, you know, a time when NDP was running Ontario and how people were very upset with the results of that, which I need to learn more. Like, what happened?
Girl, me and you both.
Because I would have thought, being that they got that chance to show the people, I would think that they would have done what they needed to do. But ever since then, it seems like a lot of Ontarians are totally turned off from NDP. Like, I don't know how bad it is, girl.
So I know they're turned off of Liberals. I can't really remember the exact reason for NDP other than right now the disconnect between the leader and the general party. Because I know people are so excited that now NDP also has the Black Caucus, you know, that is really focused on, you know, Black issues, focusing right. on, you know, uplifting, bringing up Black neighborhoods and so on. But I just know with Liberals specifically, I remember I wasn't as big into politics as I am now back then, but I remember people not being happy about, I guess, the, in quotations, the overspending that the Liberals were doing at the time. This was during the era of Kathleen Wynne. Yeah, it was a lot of overspending. So they felt like Doug Ford coming in would sort of correct that and, I guess, you know, bring some checks and balances to the way that Liberals were, again, overspending. And if you notice, too, I'm not sure if it's because Ontario is the biggest province in Canada, but we tend to almost be act as like a check and balance for the federal government. So if you notice, when the federal government is conservative, Ontario tends to be tends to have a liberal government. And then now that we have a liberal at the federal level, we have a conservative. It typically flip-flops like that. I don't know if it's weird that it happens, but it's almost like it's some sort of a check and a balance.
Interesting. I didn't know that. And with conservatives, the mindset is that they're going to be cutting back on spending. They're going to save.
So that's typically and theoretically what conservatives do is, I guess, conserve and are fiscal about spending. But have you driven around Toronto? Do you see that there's so much cranes? So you have a lot of active construction development projects. You also have a lot of transit projects. Like, this administration has really like pushed for transit. So I still see them spending. I still see spending going on. I just see a different type of prioritization in what you're spending on.
100%. So take me back to the night of the elections when it showed a blue win, you know, like, it was Doug Ford again, a conservative to win. Were you surprised? If you were kind of surprised, who did you expect to win?
Honestly, yeah, I expected either conservative or liberal. And I thought that because people were aggravated in the way that Doug Ford and the conservative government had sort of handled the pandemic, honestly, I don't really fault them because no government was very, very, very ready and prepared for this. This is something that hasn't happened in a really long time in the world. It hasn't happened in my lifetime. So I get that. And so I'm not going to say, you know, he didn't handle it very well, right? So, but people were very annoyed at the, you know, open today, close tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to prioritize businesses, but we're not necessarily taking measures to protect our health, to ensure that businesses can be open and stay open. So I thought that that would be enough to deter people to vote for NDP or to vote for liberals, but it didn't. So because I was seeing a lot of, you know, we're going to vote him out, guys, get ready. But then when I started seeing projections, I was like, oh, they're not going to vote him out. They're going to keep him in. Okay, cool.
I think a lot of Ontarians didn't feel as though he did such a bad job.
Yeah.
And being that, you know, the saying goes, inflation be inflationing.
Yes,
and he's putting money back into people's pockets.
Exactly. Because he pulled that one. What did he do? He gave us back $100 for the sticker on our license.
The license plate. You no longer have to pay for the 412 toll, which a lot of people love that idea. Yeah. To be honest with you, I kind of found it really silly that they put a toll on the four. But hey.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Right.
So, but he did put a lot of money, and then he explained to Canadians that he's going to put more money into their pockets.
Right.
And I know one of the things that he was talking about was reducing daycare costs.
Right.
And so it was one of the things that he was working with the federal government. And now that's a big high for me because I have a son that is in daycare. And so, you know, I think he really was trying to put money back into people's pocket. Another thing was reducing gas prices.
Right. But do you think that these were done earnestly, or do you think it was like a Hail Mary? Like, I need to be put back in office again. So guess what? I'm just going to turn around and I'm going to, you know, pull one really quickly. Because I feel like it was that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if you, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I think it was more of a situation of, let me do this and then get away with the little things that I'm doing. There's been so many things that he has done that people are kind of raising an eyebrow, but I think this kind of was a way to distract people. Like, let me put more money in your pocket. While I'm doing that, let me elect my nephew and then put $16,000 of raises in MPPs. Like, it's kind of like, whoa. You know, like, I think it was a way to distract us. But I mean, like, for some people, they would have been able to be fully distracted. And for some people, they're like, okay, thank you. But hey, what's going on over here? You know, so I think it wasn't done like a part. It wasn't a part of his plan. I think it was just a way for him to get voters.
I think so too.
Yeah, me too. Because it just felt too, I don't know, it felt too calculated for me.
Exactly. It was a few months before the actual election. So I feel like it was very calculated. It was very, very, very calculated. Yeah.
I wasn't surprised about the results. I think I was hopeful. I knew that I didn't want liberal. I don't know. There was something about Del Duca that I just didn't trust. And then the more digging I did about him, I remember there was a time. So when I came to Ontario, Kathleen Wynne was the premier of Ontario. And he worked alongside Kathleen. And so I did a little digging, and there was a couple of things that he came up with that Wynne agreed with, and it seemed like the general public were not on board with. Can't remember what those words
were. We're gonna look into this because I want to remember why people were so
Del Duca. I remember reading that. I was like, okay, there's something about him that just screams untrustworthy. I don't know why. I could be wrong. You know, I definitely could be wrong. But there was something about Del Duca that I was not okay with. Andrea was, she didn't do anything for me. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's exactly what it was. I just wasn't enthused.
The only person, though, that I was very impressed with was Mike Schreiner. I was very impressed, especially come the debate.
Oh, yeah. I missed
that. He was. he was really like on it. And I was thinking to myself, it's too bad because I don't mean to be that person, but it's he's so strong, but we know that the Green Party is not going to win a majority.
They're not, exactly. That's just, that's the thing.
He was killing it.
That's a thing, yeah. And so I don't know if Canada right now, it's going to take time. I think they have to sort of just keep strategizing and building momentum gradually. I feel like it's going to take like 5, maybe even 10 years till we can get to that point. So... Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. I want to be hopeful with you.
Yeah.
I really want to be hopeful with you. I really.
I'm not too sure if we're going to see it in our lifetime, but maybe who knows down the line. So election night results came in, and they did, it showed that only 43% of Ontario's voted.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about that? Do you think... Did the federal election hurt voter turnout for the provincial one?
So I feel like the voter turnout definitely hurt the sort of the results, because I feel like it's so sad, because what happens when people, when this occurs and people don't go out to vote, is then you then see the aftermath of, damn, only 43%. Oh my God, less than 50. This is so sad. This is so disappointing. And it's like, well, we said all this, like we mentioned this. Why are you surprised? What happened? Why didn't you go out to vote? You know, what, you know? So again, I feel like it was very underwhelming. I felt like a lot of people were not informed. And I don't know if that's because people weren't paying attention, people missed it, people weren't looking out for the information. But I feel like it definitely made a difference. I feel like a lot of the younger people, I don't think they voted. I'm just gonna be frank. I don't think so. I don't know. I feel like Gen Z was more activated, but I don't feel like, I just feel like if we voted in numbers, we could have really shifted it a little bit. I don't know. I feel like we didn't.
I agree with you. Like you had mentioned before, it's very underwhelming. There was not let's go out and vote.
Yeah, I just feel like elections, Canadian elections haven't really been like, we don't have good branding. I don't know. It's not as like sexy and salacious as American politics. It does get, you know, heated a little bit at the federal level, but I think people have kind of gone to this point, and this is something that I mentioned on the episode too, is when you're a first gen immigrant and you're coming from a country where, you know, things might have been rigged, the expectation was very low for politics here. Regardless of if Del Duca wins or if Andrea wins, you feel like you're still going to be okay. You feel like you're not going to be kicked out. You're still going to make your money. You're still going to have your salary. So there's that sense of, you know what, like, how bad could it really be? You know, that's kind of not everyone, of course, but that tends to be what a lot of first gen immigrants, especially African immigrants, sort of expresses. You know, like, we're just kind of keeping the status quo. Not much is going to change. So, you know, yeah.
What do you think?
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When people say, oh, this election is rigged anyways, why do I vote? What do you say to people like that?
I just say, no. Like, it's so hard. I haven't had someone say that to me in a really long time, and I'm really happy, because I think I would just look at you like, are you just watching conspiracy theory shows all day? Like, I've worked elections. So I've worked elections. My sister's worked elections. So you stand there and people watch them count and make sure that, you know, no sort of foul play is taking place. So when people are saying that, I just think to myself, maybe this is an excuse for you to feel like you shouldn't take part. But I personally haven't seen anything that would indicate to me that there is foul play going on, that they're being rigged. Mm-hmm. Until then, I genuinely think that it was just a lower turnout.
100%. I see it more so as, and I'm going to get all historical.
Right.
But I'm like, you know what? Our ancestors fought for their rights for us to vote. And for you to not vote, that's kind of like a slap in the face. It's like, why did we do all of this for you not to vote? And exactly. I use that all the time. Like, do you want to upset your ancestors? Because you're doing that right now. So for people to say that it's rigged, I don't believe it's rigged. We've seen what it's like, and maybe whether it's here in Canada, the States, or wherever, we see what happened when the people want change and the people go out and they really believe in voting. So I don't think it's rigged. And now that we had somebody who was around to make sure people counted ballots properly, now we can say no, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah. I just feel like people were not as activated for this one. Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think I was the only one who just, because I wanted to have these conversations and nobody was like, oh, there's an election. I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. I was like, you didn't know? Like, I watched the Ontario debate, and I'm really into politics. I'm surprised I didn't do political science in university. But, you know, you're right. A lot of people, I would say a lot of millennials, Gen Zs, maybe Gen X, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. We're not that plugged in into the election.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because we're so plugged in when it comes to either federal election or our neighbors across the border.
Exactly. But look at your home. Like, yeah, that's exactly it. And I don't know if it's a Brandon thing. I don't know if politics needs to be brought to the people. I will also say maybe it's a representation thing. I know that, you know, as interesting and as difficult as a system that America has right now in place, there are more people of color running in certain different seats. There are more people in Congress that are people of color. At the local level, you see more activists, grassroots, mayors, you know? Yeah. So I think it does something when you see someone that looks like you can sort of, you feel more encouraged to go out there and vote. So, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely would need to see some more representation inside of Parliament or at the Premier's office. And maybe we will see that in the future. So let's hypothetically say the PR rep for the Liberal Party and the NDP party are listening to this podcast.
Oh, wow.
This is hypothetical. Of course. They're looking to revamp the party. What would you tell them in regards to, like, what they should be looking for the next candidate to take over? Or how can they revamp? What can they do to appease people, Canadians, in the next election? What do you think?
So I feel like we need an enthusiastic leader. When I think about the Obamas of the world, like, we need someone who is of the movement, like, from the movement, of the movement, is just willing to speak, be enthusiastic. Like, I'm thinking, like, I think part of it is that sometimes you listen to political leaders speak and you wonder if they even believe what they're saying, right? Like, I need someone who is of the movement, who is convicted, and who is willing to fight. It wouldn't hurt to have someone who is younger than, like, I think that Canada actually has relatively young political leaders. I think we do good in terms of that. So I would say, you know, 30s, 40s, so that you've lived life, you have the experience, you're knowledgeable, but you're still in touch. So someone who's young. Obviously, I'm a Black woman, I'm a woman of color, so it would be great if we could see some representation. And then someone who was just down to earth, maybe someone who has an activist background or a grass movements background. Like, someone I'm thinking of right now is like a Jill Andrews. So she is a member of provincial parliament. So an MPP, not an MP, NDP party. And while she was running, she was going to Eglinton West neighborhood. She was going to Little Jamaica, and she was recording visuals and getting people involved and showing what life was like in that neighborhood. So I think someone like that is someone that we would need to put at the front of the party and the movement to really propel it. Yeah, that's what I would
100%.
Say.
I think that's definitely it. We need some, I think we just need fresh,
yeah,
a breath of fresh air, something new.
Yeah.
Something more being able to relate to the people. Sometimes I feel like a lot of these politicians are kind of out of touch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Making decisions that won't even affect them because they're that old and out of touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would definitely say maybe kind of spread around your, basically those who believe in your party, just kind of spread around, whether that's you have people who support you in Thunder Bay or in Toronto, and just kind of gauge their thoughts just to see, like, what is it that they're looking for political, like, have the discussion with, because they are your voters and you really want to put somebody that's there that is going to represent you well and is what the people are looking for, right? Correct. If you were just putting somebody in based off of what you and your group of people think would be best, might not work. And I know this sounds really bad, but you kind of need somebody who's smart and charismatic.
That's why I refer to Obama, because he was very charismatic at a time where it was needed. And I think that's also a lot of times why we draw closer to American politics and our Canadian is just, I feel like their leaders are more charismatic. Like when I think of people like AOC, like her story from being a waitress to now being, you know, in Congress and advocating for people from the very neighborhood that she came from. Like, just, we need stories like that. We need things like that, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the PR. So, Liberal Party, NDP Party, if you're ever listening to this episode. Just, you know, just a thought. So we're, like I mentioned earlier on the episode, we are approaching the 1 month that the conservatives have been in government. How do you think they're doing so far? How did you think they did during the pandemic? And what were your thoughts on the nurses and the how they treated COVID and the nurse layoffs? Like, what do you think of them then, how they did, and what do you think they're doing now? Is it looking good?
I feel like it's looking the same. I think it's looking good or better because we're, quote unquote, out of the pandemic / managing it. But right now, you know, they are calling, some scientists are calling for masks indoors again. And so we'll see if there's a resurgence of cases and so on, to different variants every week now. But I think they're doing okay. I think I will have to sort of watch it and monitor for the next few months to really see. I still feel like Ford is treating this as, like, you know, status quo. He won. He's just continuing all that he's been doing. Right now, I know there are several reports, because this is the field that I work in, housing. There's this affordability crisis. And so there have been so much sort of talk about putting money into affordable housing, building housing, and so on. So I'm interested to see how seriously they take that. And yeah, we just saw, I was reading an article today. It said that I think we just saw the largest increase that landlords can place on rent in about a decade.
Oh.
And I'm wondering why this was implemented. So, yeah, I'll have to, I feel like it's a little too early for me to speak on it right now, but I'm definitely going to be watching.
Oh,
I'm definitely
you and me both, girl.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching. Both. I wasn't impressed with COVID, but it's so hard for me to say that any other politician could have done it better. The nurse layoffs, could you explain more of that to me? Because I know that nurses and healthcare professionals in general are not happy with that party right now.
Yes. So with the nurses, the issue that they were having was that, for one, he was not listening to the medical advice.
Yes, there was a lot of that.
And so because he's not listening and advising according to the medical advice, as a result, we're seeing COVID cases going up.
Mm-hmm.
We're also seeing more nurses being burnt out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he put a kind of a cap on their salary.
Yeah.
Yes, but then gave them a bonus. Like, here's the bonus, like a thank you bonus. And then to add insult to injury, he was saying that you had, you know, the whole thing of you had to be vaccinated. And right. And yeah. Nurses who didn't want to be vaccinated could have potentially lost their jobs. I think they did end up losing their jobs. And then he was just like trying to call them back again.
Yeah.
Like, forget. I think it really more so happened once we started, you know, letting go of the vaccine mandate. He's like, okay, right. You guys should come back to work. So it just kind of felt like a slap to the face. Like, we've done all this. We've tried to keep people alive and you're doing all of this. And I do agree to a sense, like, what's the point of having medical professionals telling you things and you don't even
going to take the advice? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want to do. And a lot, you know, a lot of people are I don't know if I call them conspiracy theorists, but they have the mindset that Ford did what he did because he has a business. So before he came into power, he had a business, and his business are floor decals. So this is the rumor. You know when you have those little stickers on the floor? For example, we had the stickers of going up. He has that and sign. And so the mindset for a lot of people was, he's doing this to put more money in his business.
Okay, interesting.
I can't confirm, can't deny. Yeah, these are just rumors.
Right. I also know even with the whole like affordability and the need for housing right now, there's a big push. And what we're seeing right now are a lot of developers. And people think that now he is wanting to be more lenient on certain permissions for what developers can build and where they can build, because of money and the people that are funding the Conservative Party and so on. So yeah, there's a lot of thoughts and
I'm watching you, Mr. Ford.
Right. So yeah, I'm gonna.
I don't know
monitoring.
What. Yeah, 100%. I can't tell now. I think right now he's just trying to. I think he's trying to keep us distracted. You know, I just saw today as I was scrolling on Instagram, he has implemented a sort of tax break for gases.
Oh.
Which I ain't mad at. So we could see a 5 cents reduction. Right. I'm not mad. Because the way gas is out here and the prices are high.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it at all. And I do see that, like, I'm not too sure. I feel as though he's probably doing it for a specific agenda. Again, I could be wrong. And he could actually be doing this because this is what he thinks the people want. And he could be bang on that.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, and let me know, like, how long I don't remember. How long is a premier in office for? 4 years?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So we got,
he has another four. Okay.
We got 4 years, girl.
Okay.
Now, what are your thoughts about the new Minister of Citizenship and Multiculturalism?
Girl, you like, so when you had sent me over, I scrolled and I was like, Minister of Citizen and Multiculturalism. I was, because I know they recently appointed an Indigenous person, I believe the federal level.
Yes.
So I was wondering, is this what she's talking about? So I was looking through and I was like, oh, Doug has appointed his nephew. Interesting. And this is why, for all of this that takes place, I believe in nepotism for us Black people. Please hire. If you're hiring manager, hire your Black friends that are qualified. Hire your daughter's friend that knows the job well. Hire them. Because if they can do it, we can too.
Exactly. Classic example.
Exactly. And I mean, he's saying and defending and saying that his nephew has extensive research, extensive experience. We'll see about that.
I did the research.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. This will be his first time in it. And a lot of people are calling him out on it. You know, like, he doesn't have the experience. I get that you need to get the experience, but to automatically give him a ministerial role.
Right. Like, I'm so sorry. I thought we all start somewhere was a thing. Why is he starting as a minister?
Something doesn't make sense. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't make sense to
me.
So I did see that, and I was kind of, what made me chuckle even more is, like, what does this person know about multiculturalism?
Right. Like, look at who you look at who you put in position right now. Look, like, just. And sometimes I just wonder, like, all the advisors, strategic advisors, the consultants that are all gathered around you. And at no point did someone say, hey, Doug, maybe this isn't the best move. Or did they say that and you just disregarded the advice? Whichever one, sir, wrong move.
100%. I need to see his team of people. I need to see, what does his team look like? Is it predominantly white people? Or is there some flavor up in there? If it's predominantly white people, then you can't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, but if there was like maybe one or two or three, maybe an indigenous, a Hispanic, an Asian, black person, then I would have expected them to maybe like kind of call them out. Especially because, hello, multiculturalism and citizen, like, wouldn't that be somebody who is of that?
Yeah.
I don't know, genre. You know, like, I was just kind of surprised. And you're right. It is definitely nepotism. And you make a very valid point. You know, I feel like sometimes we as black people do need to start looking out for our own. Because this clearly showed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying it without saying it, okay?
let's just put it that way. Yep. Please, read between the lines.
Girl. Now, if Doug Ford is listening to this podcast, again, I'm all about hypotheticals tonight.
The podcast is too progressive for him, but yeah.
I like the sound of that. But if he happens to be listening to it, what do you think the people need from him this time around? Or we could dumb it down and say, what would Chid like to see from him?
Right. So I would like to see him working collaboratively with the federal government, liberals at a federal level, to fund housing development. So I'm a really big housing person because I work in this field as an urban planner. So we're always trying to better cities and so on. So I would like to see adequate policy for affordable housing. I don't want you to put it in the hands of developers and say that building more housing is what will reduce the price of housing, because that's not the case. People keep saying, you know, supply. The more houses we get, it'll lessen demand and the prices will come down. No, but somewhere I don't trust what you're doing and your collaborative efforts with these developers. So I want full transparency. I want a comprehensive policy. A lot of documents are coming out, and I've been going through them and I've been finding some cracks. I want full transparency and a full policy on this affordability crisis for housing. I'm not a healthcare like expert, but I've been hearing about some things that are being privatized, some certain medications or so on. I know that was a big talking point before the election. I'm not sure how true that is, but I just want more like comprehensive healthcare coverage. And I really hope that we don't mess with that. Please, that's something that I'm really here for. What else? He's clear prioritizing transportation. I see a lot of transit projects. Please give Scarborough their subway. Like, it's overdue. You've put the Eglinton Crosstown. That's not done yet. You're now removing the Scarborough LRT, so we won't be able to get from, you know, Pickering Scarborough area to the STC, to Scarborough Town Center on LRT anymore. So please give Scarborough the subway that they've been begging and asking for so long. Please put some money into that project, because you're doing the Eglinton Crosstown. There is Ontario Line that their Metrolinx is in the works, sort of planning that. You have Finch LRT, Finch West LRT. Please, give Scarborough their subway.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are a few things.
She's like, don't worry, I got more, but this is the ones that I want Mr. Ford to be hearing. Hear this, sir. Okay. That's good. I'm not too sure what I would want this time around. I'm still learning.
Yeah, me too. And of course, those are things because, like, you know, these are things that we're doing the research and advising politicians and saying, hey, do this. Hey, council, approve this. Hey, do this transit project. And then they're the decision makers that either say yes or no to what we advise them on. So,
what does that look like in terms of, like, affordable housing? Because I would be under the impression of, like, you know, I'm based off of the news. Supply. What would that mean? Aside from supply, like, how can they make affordable housing aside from that? Would you happen to know?
Yeah. So there are certain things, like, for example, like, it's called inclusionary zoning. So that's where you the province has sort of put out the mandate, and then now it's up to cities to to sort of figure out how they want to implement it. And Toronto has a bunch of reports coming out. And I think now the way that they want to implement it is official. But essentially what it means is that you can mandate developers to have like a certain number of units in their building to be sold at a like at an affordable rate, like so at oh. at or below market. So if you're going to have like 400 units in this condo development, at least maybe like 25 to 30% have to be sold at or below market. Like oh. and you can say what that'll be. Yeah, because otherwise, based on the cost of construction, the cost of obtaining the land, and the cost of development, developers have the tendency to want to make up for it. So it gets pushed onto the consumer. And then from the consumer, from the person who's buying the unit, it then gets pushed onto whoever's renting the unit, right?
Right.
You also have Airbnb. Airbnb is taking up a lot of units that could be people's homes.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
You know, so that too. I don't know. I don't want to say no Airbnb because I know that that was something that, you know, was useful to people. Now it seems to be more expensive than hotels, but some sort of balancing needs to be done because that's a lot of units that could be people's homes.
That's true. And they're sitting there vacant a yeah. lot of the time.
A lot of them. Yeah. So those are a few things. Yeah.
Do yeah. you think Canadians will ever give the underdogs a chance?
Ooh, girl, I think.
Because we always go for the same two. It's either yeah. liberal or conservative. Back and
exactly.
forth.
Exactly. And I think one is the strategic voting, which you mentioned. I think also the demographics of Canada as a whole. I know we tend to think Toronto was so diverse or so multicultural, and we are. But once you leave Toronto and just go, you know, a little bit north, a little bit east, a little bit west in the GTA, the demographics drastically change.
Right.
So I think perhaps as the demographics become more and more multicultural in all parts of Ontario, then that will change, and then to the country as well. But I think it'll be really hard.
Yeah. It's too bad.
I know. And Canada's still a very young country. Like, we're still building and shaping what we want, yeah. right? So I think it'll take some time. It'll definitely take some time.
And I totally forgot to explain to my listeners, because we do have some American listeners. Okay, so we've got four political parties. Now, yes. keep in mind, we do have smaller parties as well. A lot of them are not very known. Like, for example, the People's Party. The People's Party. And there's so many others. But we kind of have the major four. And right. this is either between Ontario and federally. So for those who are living in the state, think of it as states or provinces. Mm-hmm. And, well, federal is federal. That doesn't change. So we've got NDP, New Democratic Party, Liberal, mm-hmm. Conservative, and Green Party. And they all vary on the spectrum, you know, the left to right spectrum, left wing, right wing. And so Conservative would be equivalent to Republicans.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to say, like, Republicans are way right. Yeah, I don't know if...
more right than us. Not think, even a little. Yes. Yeah, you're right. More right.
Exactly. Then we've got Liberal, which is kind of smack dead in the middle. Mm-hmm. Not too sure where the Green Party is on the spectrum. Right. And then NDP, which is far left.
Yeah.
Just so that my American listeners know exactly what we're talking about, just to give you guys some context, Liberal is also, yeah, like the Democrats in the US.
Exactly.
So when we say underdogs, we're talking more so political parties that have been running, but maybe have won maybe one or two seats. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. not a majority. Like, for example, one of our underdogs is the Green Party, and the Green mm-hmm. Party is more about, you know, the environment, sustainability, mm-hmm. green housing, and all that yep. sort of stuff. And it would be nice to see people like the underdogs, like Green Party, win. Mm-hmm. Or the next best thing is the NDP, which is kind of funny. NDP is considered an underdog.
I know. Yeah, still so.
But so I'm not too sure if we'll see it. I think maybe... I feel as though the closest that we might see, I think in a federal election in the years to come, I think we might end up seeing a fifth one. And I think it's the People's Party that might, they're starting to gain a lot of traction out west.
Of course.
So in the next, I want to say 5 to 10 years, I would not be surprised if they become the fourth one. Mm. because they're gaining a lot of traction in places like Saskatchewan, Quebec even. So we'll see. Chin, maybe we'll have this conversation in the next 10 years.
I'm sure we will.
See where politics is at. Now, our final question for tonight. What is one thing you hope to see in your lifetime when it comes to either Ontario politics or even federal politics?
In Ontario politics, I really would love to see, and I'm trying to remember to see if we've had one so far, a person of color as a premier. Yeah, that. And then at the federal level, a woman as our prime minister.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
But which do you think could happen first? A woman as our prime minister or Jagmeet being our prime minister? Because I wouldn't be mad at Jagmeet being our prime minister either.
And you know what's so funny? People like laugh at Jagmeet because he's on TikTok. Oh, look at this guy
on
TikTok.
I love that because he's so in touch. He's skateboarding. That's what I'm talking about.
But they don't realize that this is a strategy. He's appeasing to the next generation.
Exactly.
So come this time, I'm sorry to say, boomers, when you're gone, it's going to be Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, and whatever that generation is.
Exactly.
And so they're going to remember him based off of his TikToks. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we might shift. It might be conservative NDP.
Yep. Exactly.
You know? So a lot of people are clowning him. But I'm like, he's
definitely, that's what I think. NDP, they're playing the long-term game right now.
Yeah.
And for that, I give them the round of applause. They're playing a long-term game. So just keep working, keep strategizing, keep to the plan. Please, you know, run clean, good campaigns. Stick to what you say you're going to do and actually do it. And yeah, we're going to actually see a shift gradually.
Now, will I see Jagmeet as... like, which one would I see first? Jagmeet or a female? I'm going to be honest with you.
You see a woman first? It depends on the race of the woman. I see a white woman first before Jagmeet, to be honest.
Okay, so if
just
we're going to go down...
Canadian demographics.
If we're going to go between a white woman and Jagmeet, white woman's going to win 100% hands down.
Yeah.
There are... I know this is a shock to a lot of my listeners who are U.S. listeners. Yeah, but we have some microaggressions out here and a little... like a sprinkle, Salt Bay sprinkle of racism out here. And I think a lot of people would rather see a white woman than a person of color.
Yeah.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see an indigenous leader. An indigenous federal leader. That would feel like a big, like, moment. It's like, you took it from our country and look at us taking it back. Exactly. So I would hope to see that.
Yeah.
And it would be too bad. Like, I would love to see more, like the closest that we had in terms of a black politician was, she was a part of the Green Party before she stepped down.
Oh,
Anna May Paul.
Yes. Anna May Paul. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to say it, but I kind of saw it coming. She had a lot of issues with them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of saw that it was coming, and especially when she lost her riding to Marcy Ian.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marcy Ian. Hi. I used to watch you on the social. But I kind of saw it coming. And so I think there's a lot of politicking, and there's a lot of maybe – I kind of think of sometimes these groups is like high school, you know, the
cliques.
I feel like it's very clicky, and if you don't get along with the clique, they'll make your life hell.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I would like to see an indigenous, whether it's male or female, I don't care, as a prime minister.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
So dope.
And of course, in terms of the Ontario level. I would love to see a black woman. I said it there. Black woman. I would love to see her there. So I think overall, we're just going to have to keep an eye out on the next 4 years. Maybe we'll have a discussion 4 years from now when the next election comes and review and see how did Mr. Ford do and who are we looking for. And hopefully at that time, you know, they have better, you know, representative for each of their parties, because this was a joke.
This was
Chid, thank you so much for being on my episode. It was great.
Thank you.
It's a long time coming. I'm going to give you a minute to plug everything in.
Yes, thank you so much. So, for those who are wanting to connect with me, you can connect with me on a personal level at Chid Suzanne on, you know, Twitter and Instagram, and we can just chat. And if you're wanting to connect with me, you know, with the podcast, it's at BWDIK Podcast. That's But What Do I Know Podcast on Twitter, Instagram. They're making us work and get on all these apps, and now I'm also on TikTok. We'll see how far that goes. Man, I'm exhausted, but yes, connect, you know, listen to the podcast, share your feedback. And thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. We're definitely going to have you on my podcast.
For sure.
We'll connect and make that happen. But thank you so much again.
If you enjoyed today's episode or any of our episodes on this podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps the visibility and outreach of small indie podcasts and podcasters like myself. Also, share the episodes to others who you may feel will enjoy this conversation. And finally, follow us on all of our social media accounts. You can follow us on Instagram at A Shot of Melanin, on Facebook at A Shot of Melanin, and also on Twitter at ASOM_podcast. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.